Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all the crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hello, Ben Mooney Tunes.
Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. It's a great day for me because the valley has come to an end. Thank you, Jesus. This needed to happen about 10 episodes. I've been waiting for it, and it came. Fireworks went off at the end.
Wow. It's like, you're free. You're free, young man.
Well, it's exciting. Well, all right. You're free, an uplifting episode.
Walk into the sea.
You made it. You made it to the finish line with a very happy episode. And now you don't have to worry about it for a few more months, Ronnie.
Yeah. So if you want to watch us on video, you can do so at our Patreon. That's where you get videos for all our recaps. You also get them for free a week after they're released here over on our YouTube channel. Also on Patreon, you get bonus episodes, Discord server, free newsletter, and ad-free listening, which is a big one. So thanks to everybody over at Patreon. Let's get on with this valley. I want to congratulate Lala. She did a pretty decent job hosting her first reunion.
Yes. She was really wonderful as stepping into the role of host, and I liked what she did with the format.
Truly, why do they let Lala host this whole thing? Like, shut up! Every question is not to you. Now, here's where it gets troublesome because it's the Valley, so I'm rooting against pretty much everybody on this show. So when she's yelling at Danny, I liked it. But then the rest of the time, I was like, oh, stop, you know. But
yeah,
you know, at least she used her power for good at some points.
I'm like, it was annoying that she kept on jumping in, but also everything she was saying, I was liking. So for me, it was ultimately a positive thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my main, I think, issue with this whole reunion, this was a very below deck reunion. You remember when they used to do those and they finally stopped doing them because I think it was logistics, like trying to get everybody there because everybody's all over the world. But also, these are customer service people ultimately, and they're not long-term reality people. So they come on and instead of fighting, they would just be, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm totally sorry, because they would get the reactions from the internet. And so they became really boring. It was really hard to have a good reunion because they'd be like, well, you sexually harassed somebody. It's like, and I did. And I don't know why I did that. And I apologize. And that's this whole episode, pretty much, is everybody doing these fake apologies and then moving on. I think the one who really gets away with it the most is Kristen, because Kristen didn't answer for shit. Kristen was really literally like, no idea why I said it. Don't even remember saying it. I've been racking my brain. Cuckoo.
Yeah, she really did that a lot. She's like, I can't even believe it. But Danny tried to do sort of the same thing and he did not do so well. You know, Danny was sad. It was a very sad situation with Danny because he's just in denial. I mean, it's just he's pointing fingers everywhere for his own behaviors. And it's just like, oh, sir, you know, I was never going to advocate that he needed to join a 12-step program or anything like that. But like seeing the way he reacted to everyone, I'm like, oh, maybe you should. maybe the time has come for that.
Yeah, I really don't care if he goes to a 12-step program or if he's an alcoholic. My problem is always just his shit behavior, which he doesn't explain either. It's always someone else's fault or they made me do it. I can't believe he didn't use the word triggered. I guess it's because he threw it at Lala earlier in the season. But that's basically what he was saying. Like, everything that happened is because I was triggered by last year. And I was triggered by Jax. And I was triggered by blah, blah, blah. Are you triggered, Danny?
Well, everything was about, it was a heightened situation. He and Nia just kept on using the word heightened because clearly they're a pastor. That's the buzzword the pastor used. Like, would you believe that you were in a heightened situation? So everything was like, I was in a heightened situation. So I was coping and Daniel was in a heightened situation. So we don't normally have these, but it was a heightened situation. So over and over and over again, the heightened situation, like, no, he's just annoying. He's an annoying drunk. Everyone knows it. Everyone sees it. And no amount of conspiratorial, you know, things from Jax can change the fact that Danny is an annoying drunk. Like, We all use our eyes and our ears to come to the same conclusion.
Also, a short guy using the term heightened situation is hilarious over and over. It's like,
yeah,
you're on a chair, you're on a heightened situation. For Christ's sake, you're standing on a step, you're on a heightened situation. Everything is a heightened situation for you, sir.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're ridiculous. So here we go. Season 3, episode 21, Reunion Pod 3. Now we're discussing Danny's drinking. And we just ended the last episode with Brittany saying, oh, yeah, well, what about Jasmine's wedding? And Andy was like, what happened to Jasmine's wedding? Oh, what are you drinking my wedding? I didn't even know if he was drinking my wedding. Was drinking my wedding? What happened to my wedding? I don't know. Like, I don't even know.
Well, I didn't see it with my own eyes, but Zach told me that there was a big thing with Danny after the wedding and that Jesse was going to say something about it. And he was like, nothing happened at the wedding. And but of course, they're talking about something that happened at the after party. So once again, Danny and Nia, they love the semantics game. Like, but that wasn't the wedding. It was the after party. So Zach says, I said exactly what happened, that Jesse was told by Nia, hey, don't tell him that there's an after party.
Okay, so Danny didn't do anything at this after party? Because you all have had everybody believing that Danny got wasted at this wedding and then had some kind of a fit at this. Which, by the way, I totally believed hook, line, and sinker because I believe he would. Why wouldn't he? But then it comes back and it's a big nothing burger. So now it becomes a semantics fight, as you said, with this after party thing. Supposedly Jesse said, don't tell him there's an after party. And he is like, I didn't say that. We knew there was an after party. Everyone knew there was an after party. I said, Daniel and I are staying at hotel. So don't call Daniel and say, hey, come to the after party because we're staying at the hotel. Yeah. Oh, that is what she said. That is what she said. She called me and she was like, can you go down and bring him to the room? And I went down and they were like, he was in no shoes. He was in a tank top. He was watching the game and having a drink. And he wasn't really super receptive to me dragging him out of there.
So if, I mean, everyone's speaking in code. And in fact, I think Lala says that later. But like Jesse's saying he was in the at the bar and he wasn't super receptive to me dragging him out of there. What does super receptive mean? I mean, we all know what it means. He was belligerent. He was like, no, I don't want to go. I'm watching FIFA. But like, the point is that, okay, the story that Danny and Nia are going to tell, that some of it's already been told so far and over the next few beats that they will fill it in, which was that they were going to have a quiet night in together as a couple. That's what Nia says momentarily. So a few things here. It's either that she wanted Jesse to make sure he didn't know about the after party, so that way he wouldn't be tempted to leave their quiet night in and go to the after party, or that they were going to have a quiet night in and that he was already down at a bar and Jesse went to take him out of the bar to tell him to go back up to his room where his wife was waiting for him and he didn't want to do that. Either way, I think all scenarios are not great for Danny. Like, if you're having a night in with your wife, and you're champing at the bit to get out of there and go like party, that's like not great. And then if your wife is waiting for you and you're like refusing to leave the bar and you're obviously going to, you're probably making a little bit of a scene. That's why Jesse said he wasn't so receptive to it, which is like a glossing over. Also not great. So the point is this, there's nothing about Jax Taylor, for instance, that affects this situation. You're just being a dick. If we're supposed to believe this story on its surface, which by the way, this everything I'm saying predicates that we're believing it on its surface. We all know what it really was, don't tell Danny that there's an after party because he'll get wasted and he'll get out of control and it'll be a problem. That's what the real story is here. But if he's trying to have us, if Nia and Danny are trying to have us believe that, actually, I lost my train of thought on this one. I think I got all the important stuff out, which is that Danny is an annoying drunk and people are making excuses for him. And there's no version of this story that somehow makes it better than what the real story is.
Yeah. From what we can piece together, he was downstairs in a bar watching a game with no shoes in a tank top, which I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know where they were.
Yeah. I can't tell what that's.
And then Jesse was going to take him back to the room. He didn't want to leave the bar. And he is like, well, how's that connected? And Jason's like, well, I don't know if I want to say something because we're not friends right now. So, you know, like I tried last year with you and that didn't go well when I went to heavy handed and told you heavy-handedly that you're an alcoholic, like, you didn't like that. So I guess I just can't say anything. I guess I just won't say anything then. Unless Janet tells me to. If Janet tells me to, I will. But otherwise, I'll just sit here.
Well, I think a big part of the reason why we can't move on or talk about the things that we need to talk about is because they're like certain, like Janet and Jason, and like there's the thing that happened last year, and then there's like other things that we couldn't talk about because this. And so Lala's like, okay, you guys are speaking in code. And if I'm listening to it, I'm picking up on little things where you're calling and Nia's calling and singing like we're going to the hotel and don't tell him there's an after party because that's where he'll be, etc. And basically Lala's trying to say like, you're trying to gloss over the fact that you were trying to prevent Danny from being around Booze. And Nia's like, no, I didn't say don't tell him about the after party. We can pull out the text message because it was a text, not a phone call. I was like, okay, thank you, Nia, for clarifying what form of communication came through here.
Yeah, but she's also changing the words. Lala's changing the words because Nia's saying they already all knew there was an after party. She's just saying don't encourage Danny to go because I don't want Danny going to this after party. Like, if you already agree with Danny not to go, and then people are like, come on, Danny, let's go. She's like, don't do, you know, I didn't think this was that huge of a deal, but it does all lead back to the same road that you have to do that because your husband's probably already wasted and you know he's going to get 10 times more wasted at this party.
It should just never be an issue, I think, for Nia and Danny. It should never be an issue. If your wife is like, I want to have like a nice night in the two of us. And then like, that's going to have to be a hard pitch for her because otherwise he's going to gravitate towards the after party. It's like, I don't know. I think that's shitty.
Oh yeah. Well, it's Danny and Nia's marriage. So there you go. Yeah. And he didn't even want to go to the after party anyway. He wanted to watch a soccer game in the bar. So either way, Nia's not getting some romantic night with Danny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So now they're arguing over the wording and the texts. And Lala's like, I have yet to see one. Like, everyone has text messages. And Danny's like, you've got receipts like the CVS. I remember that bit you did. That was hilarious. Remember when Lala pulled out a 20-foot receipt from the CVS? That was so funny. Let's go. And Nia's like, well, it was just a simple, we're staying in after the wedding, so please don't call Daniel and encourage him to come to the after party. So see, to me, that is a complete red flag.
So Kristen's like, what? Oh my God, Lala, no, I'm fucking stepping in. Kristen, like, mighty defender of Danny and Nia at all costs. And Lala's like, can they please talk about it, though? She's just, no, sorry. I would literally be like, don't you dare call Luke. I would be like that. I would be like, I'm like, well, Luke is also a piece of shit. The fact that you both have to tell other people to like not say things that way your partner's sort of go-to instincts don't kick in. I'm trying to think of the right words. Like, the point is they are treating these men like they're wild animals. And like, it's like, oh, wow. Like, don't mean it. And they are. But I'm saying like, that's why it's bad. Right. It's like everyone else there, the wild animal is just going to do what the wild animal does. So don't like encourage the wild animal. Oh, this is a terrible metaphor. It's like the dinosaur. It's you know what it is? It's like the Tyrannosaurus in Jurassic Park. You know, it's going one way, and then Jeff Goldblum raises the flare, and then the Tyrannosaurus turns around and comes after Jeff Goldblum. And like, you shouldn't be married to the Tyrannosaurus that's going to get distracted by Jeff Goldblum. I think that was a much better metaphor.
Yeah, it reminds me of the, I think that's general good life advice, you know? but it reminds me of that Vanderpump Rules episode when Stassi was dating Bo. And they had that big Halloween. Oh, they had like Tom's extra party, I think it was. Like, oh, be extra, dude. Whatever party that was that Bo was at. It was some kind of costume party. And Stassi was like, okay, I'm going to bed. And Bo said, oh, okay, we'll go to bed. I'm going to stay up and party with the guys. And she's like, really? You're here to party with the guys and not go to bed with your girlfriend? That is the problem. And she like ripped him a new one and was like, you're my man, and if this is why you're here, like if this is why you came on this show and this friend group was to just party all night in costume with a bunch of fucking douchebags, then go fucking do it, but you're not going to be with me. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that was a big thing. And then I'm assuming that he learned after that because they're still together. I don't know how happy they are. I've watched some of that Stassi's house or whatever the fuck that is. Stassi Rules or whatever.
House of Stassi.
I don't know that they're necessarily happy. Oh, House of Stassi. Thank you. I don't know that they're necessarily happy, but they're still trudging along over there. But this is what that reminds me of. It's like, we're going to bed. This is what we're doing as a couple. And then the other one's like, no, I'm going to go party with all my friends.
Yeah. And the thing is this, again, I'm not even so sure what Nia said. We're just going to have a nice night in as a couple. I'm not even sure that was really the understanding. I think it was more like she doesn't want him to know about the after party because then he won't come back until 4 a.m. and he'll be wasted and she'll have to take care of him and he may make a scene. It could get out because she's already dealing with a lot of this and that. Like, that's really what this is about. And she's putting this spin of like, we just want to have a nice night in. And she knows, and Kristen knows with Luke, that like, if given a choice between them versus partying with the boys, those guys are going to choose partying with the boys, as Lindsay Hubbard would say. And I think it's like, choose the partner who's going to prioritize you at all times. That's what I say.
Yeah. Well, neither one of them did. So let's just watch it spin out of control. And Lala's like, if I had to tell my husband's friend, don't tell him about the after party because I want to go to bed, blah, blah, blah. And he is like, well, a little change of words is important because I didn't say don't tell him. But you just said you told him that. But I did. I said I don't encourage him to come with you. Okay, don't encourage him. Don't tell him. I mean, whatever. You know, please don't call to beg him to come. Whatever it was. And Janet's like, what were you worried he was going to do at the after party?
I mean, that's the golden question. Know. And then Nia's like, well, we had planned, like, we were a married couple, and I just want my husband to stay back in the hotel with me. That's all. And Danny's like, I was downstairs watching FIFA. But you could also do up in the hotel room with your wife, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure she would love that.
She would.
So
she would, because she's happy. Danny calls the shots in this relationship, so she'd be happy. Actually, I think she would be happy for Danny to watch FIFA if they're both just like in bed together and he's by her side. If you're sitting alone watching FIFA, like, I'm not saying it's bad for a husband to go down to a bar and watch a game while his wife's upstairs, maybe trying to go to sleep. I'm not saying that at all. That's, I think, totally fine. But I just am saying that I don't believe any of their excuses. I think he was down there because he wanted to get wasted at the bar. So, like, if it was really that he just wanted to watch FIFA, he could watch that in his room with his wife.
Yeah. So, either way, none of this sounds fun for Nia, I think is my
No, that's for sure.
Like, none of these options are good. So, Andy is like, Brittany, you said at your Halloween party that the way Nia protects Danny reminded you of how you used to protect Jax. Yes. It is similar. And Brittany's like, well, wait, first of all, I'm not saying that you're anything like Jax. Okay? Jax is the worst. But, you know, I did protect Jax for so long, and it, like, annoys me whenever I see a girl being like, oh, everything he does is fine. It's fine. It's fine.
And he's like,
that's true.
I never said that.
And I see why you would feel that way. But you also did subject us to over a decade of this. And you doing this to everybody else. So I see why it would annoy you and like why you would tell somebody else. But also remember that you literally did this to us for 10 years, you know?
Well, I think it's more like the larger point of it's not like, well, you did it for 10 years, so here you go. It's more like, listen, you know how hard it, when you're really entrenched in it, you know, you don't see the forest for the trees. And like, you could be saying this to Nia right now. If she's not ready to hear it, she's not ready to hear it. And you know this because you were in it for 10 years and you had the entire internet telling you, hey, stop protecting him. And you came up with every excuse. I'm not saying that's bad. I think that's what happens. You wind up in these terrible relationships and you wind up covering for a partner. And it's just like, it's a mind fuck. So like, you have to just hope that that person has the aha moment and sort of steps away. And so I think like Brittany trying to get Nia to see that, it's just that I just don't think it's, I think Nia just has to come to that on her own terms, right? Like, she's always going to be on defense mode the moment that someone says that stuff to her.
Yeah, you've got both Nia and Danny kind of in that situation right now, because you've got Brittany who's talking from the perspective of, I was with, you know, Jax, and this is what I don't like seeing you go through the same kind of thing. And then you've got Lala who's like, well, I am an alcoholic and I see you going through the same thing. And both of those situations aren't something you can do for other people. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they're also in situations that annoy people on the other side, because when you get, you know, everybody knows the alcoholic who goes to AA for a year or whatever, and then suddenly everybody around them is an alcoholic, where they're like, ugh. And they've got a problem, and they like the overjudgmental alcoholic. We all know that. Or the person who's on a diet and loses a few pounds, and then suddenly it's like, why do you need to eat so much?
Right.
Like suddenly they get that opinion. The problem here is that those are kind of annoying stereotypes that we've all had to deal with. But in this situation, they're right on the money. So Danny and Nia both kind of need to either listen or just go away, because it's not up to everybody else to not comment on your behavior. It's a reality show, and that's what people are going to do. And your marriage sucks, and people are going to comment on it. And that's that. What are you going to do? And your husband's wasted, so people are going to comment on that. Wasted to the point where he's acting like slurry and falling down and yelling at women over and over again in the same season. So,
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, because I don't think anyone watching the show or even on the show shames Danny for potentially being an alcoholic. No one's like, oh, you're an alcoholic. It's more just like, I think we all get frustrated that when he is called out about it, like, hey, you may need to reevaluate your relationship with alcohol, how he gets defensive and sort of like puts it on other people and then is like really rude to other people and then doesn't seem to want to acknowledge that this may be a factor for it. And that's so frustrating to watch. It's so frustrating over and over and over again. Like everything, all his excuses on this episode. Oh my goodness. I mean, I wish it was pressed a little bit harder about, you know, what, like, why were you sneaking booze on camera? Like you were caught, you thought it wasn't going to be caught. Like it's Lala brings that up. But like, if you know you're getting, if you're feeling like you're getting a shit edit, you feel like this, you're being put on blast for your drinking, why don't you just not drink at the party? Drink like in your off time when cameras are down somewhere else. Like, why do you have to like still sneak that drink in? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is weird that he wasn't confronted on stuff like that more. But it is also odd that we're watching Bravo and this whole thing is like, oh my God, Danny, you drink. Do you have a drinking problem? It's like your network is kind of built on this. Vanderpump Rules was built on this, that's for sure. And most of the shows that we watch on here are built on people, you know, veering into alcoholism and the production encouraging it for better screen time and stuff like that. And the first, well, not the first season, but last season, it was the cast being like, oh, you know, Jax and the others, like Danny does have a drinking problem. It was brought up. And this season, I know he came back all traumatized from that. But then this season, he showed that he really does. I mean, last season, I think that there was a case for like they're really on his ass for no reason. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. A dad gets away from his kids. He's allowed to have a drink and everybody else is drinking, too. You know, what's the big deal? This season, he's belligerently drunk in every group scene we see him in, pretty much. It's embarrassing. So,
yeah, there was
yeah, this is.
He created these scenes. He created this storyline. No one came into the season saying like, oh, wow, well, I'm going to let's like talk about how like let's make Danny out to be a huge drunk, because like either he was not drinking very much and he would announce like, I'm not drinking. That's right. Because apparently I can't drink. He would say passive aggressive things like that, or he would just be wasted. But he was the one who advanced the narrative and everyone reacted to it. So this is all on him. So anyway,
yeah,
Brittany is. We're back at the reunion after that clip. And she's again saying like, it's, you know, Danny, like Jax and Danny are two different people. Like, I'm not saying that Danny is like Jax, but she goes, but I don't say why Nia wants to be like protect things and not share everything all the time. And I get that more as I'm watching the show and I are being talked to and stuff. And Danny's like, look, I didn't go into these things. Like I said, you know, it was like stress, anxiety heightened, unusual alcohol to cope in those areas, which I should not have done, and which caused me to have too much to drink. Like, so you're saying you don't have an issue with alcohol, but you use alcohol to help you cope with a stressful situation. I would love to see you reconcile those concepts a little bit more, please.
Yeah. I mean, every time he says he's not, he's giving every textbook, you know, am I an alcoholic? Like, if you look it up online.
Yeah.
Are you sneaking drinks? Are you using alcohol to cope? Are you drinking alone? You know, it's like he's going down the list of everything that he does. Like, babe, at least Google it, you know?
Yeah.
So Andy's like, Danny, $1 million question. Just kidding. That would never happen on this show. But if you're always constantly behaving in ways that you feel are not true to your character and value when you drink, why continue drinking on camera? That's a big one. And I love when Andy's asking all these alcoholism questions. He has a little smile on his face and he's not looking at Danny at all. He's just kind of like looking out towards the cameras. He hates Danny.
He hates him.
It's so obvious and it's hilarious. And he keeps his foot on his neck the whole time about it.
I know. And Danny's like, well, it's not consistent. You know, these are just bad moments that are rare. And Andy goes, but it's semi-consistent on this show. And Danny's like, exactly,
which is what I'm saying. Exactly right, Andy.
Well, it seems like that would be the place where you would not do that because you're on camera.
Right. Yes, you are right. Let's go, Andy. Good one, Andy. And he's acting like Danny, like Andy is complimenting him. And he is like, well, you would hope it would be his best behavior, but meh. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But it's not. Hey, that's you're on my side. Listen, this is why I've been again working with someone who's helping me, you know, figure out a better way to handle that situation. You know, I actually met a man in the business. They call them bartenders. And he's learned to pour my drinks into a sippy cup. A sippy cup with little Winnie the Pooh on there. So I'm really working on that, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah. When he says I'm working with someone who's helping me figure out a better way how to handle that type of situation, I think we all thought, oh, this is just someone in your church, right? You're not going to a therapist. You're not going to like an alcohol counselor. You are just like talking to someone at church. Okay, sir. So Andy's like, Danny, after Nia tried to get you to understand her perspective by the pool after the drag pageant, you said, I can't believe you said that shit and that was so stupid. Why were you so upset by what she had said? He's like, well, it was like, in a way, a lot of times this season, when I was in those heightened states of not feeling like she had my back and feeling like, you know, she wasn't defending me in a certain way. So you felt like she didn't have your back after you were talking shit. You were being rude to her and Lala came in to have her back. And then you felt like the woman who you had been sort of verbally harassing was somehow supposed to have your back in that situation.
Yes. And Jasmine's like, yeah, I mean, that came out in Mexico too. I mean, it was like excuse. It's all excuses to me. And Andy says, okay, Danny, is there anything that you feel that you're being held to the fire unfairly about? And he's like, yes, drinking.
My God.
You think this is a part of you have been wasted this whole season and caught on camera taking drinks and then being belligerent and emotionally abusive to your wife in front of everybody multiple times? What is wrong with you? How is there such a disconnect that even after Andy asked him all these pointed questions, he's like, yeah, it's unfair to be questioned about my drinking.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. I don't care if he's been wasted all season, but it's that he can't handle his booze all season. And that's the issue, is that he is not a good drinker. And that's why there's issues with it. But he's like, yeah, my drinking. We must, like, God forbid I get that. I can't drink anymore. So Andy is like, so you think this is a false narrative? He goes, well, I mean, Jack said it last reunion. You can watch last reunion. He admitted to it, though. He admitted to it. And Lala's like, Jack isn't here, though. And he's like, exactly. But people are here that call. They called and he talked to. Yeah, he called everyone. He called the cameraman. He called Andy Cohen. He called the people who even printed out these cue cards that Andy's holding. He called everyone. Got the smirch out on me. Poor old Danny Bucco.
But was he calling people and asking them to pour alcohol down your throat? Because the problem is that you were belligerently drunk. It's not that people are saying you're belligerently drunk and it's not really happening. You're drunk in every episode. So What are you saying, you idiot?
Yeah.
So he's blaming Jax for everything, and Andy's like, let's not talk about last season. I want to talk about what we saw this season, which was, it seems like you have a poor relationship with alcohol. Like, Andy does not give a fuck. I remember when he would tiptoe around Dorinda all the time and just try and find the nicest possible ways to put this over and over, year after year. And this time he's just like, no, let's just talk about right now your shitty drunkenness, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
And Danny says, well, that's what I'm saying. It carried over into season 3. So Danny really believes that, like, Jax poisoned the well against him and called people, and they're like, yeah, we should go after Danny about this. I guarantee no one on this cast wants to, you know, hear from Jax. The only people who would be influenced by Jax would be, I think, Jesse and Schwartz. And they, and Jesse obviously is in Danny's corner, and Schwartz is who knows what he's doing. So I don't, I like Danny's conspiratorial view of this is like, it's actually like sad. It's like a sad time.
I removed you from the camera so I could vape solo. Sorry, I hit the wrong
button. Then you vaped on camera. See the tangle webs you weave.
I'm sick of Jack spreading it around that I'm vaping. this is bullshit. Danny is an idiot. So then Lala goes on a monologue, which, brace yourself, because it's this entire episode. Danny, this is where I'm struggling. As someone who's an alcoholic, who didn't have to sit in a car and kill an entire family to know it, by the way. I just had to one day realize, oh my God, I'm eating Ram's ass out. And I was like, boom, I need help. So I'm not labeling you, but you're blaming people for your drinking. And we've watched you hide it, and we've watched you acting a fool. And this is a real fucking problem. And I'll be damned if you're going to blame Jack Taylors and say that he's the problem. He's not here. Nor did he call anybody. This absolute bullshit. I will pop you.
He definitely did call people, though. She's like, no, I won't even speak for anyone else. It's what I witnessed and heard. And then when I watched, you were pouring drinks, thinking like no one was watching. Like, that's a fucking problem. And Andy's like, Lala, you said on Watch Rapids Live that you hope that Nia leaves Danny. And so Vicky from Coda de Casa says, do you really think Nia becoming a single mom of 4 is better than the steps they are taking in therapy together? And then she adds, get a job. And Kristen is like,
great question. Oh, yeah, great question. I can't wait to hear the answer to this. There she is, a mother.
And I thought Lala was going to be like, well, okay, I was exaggerating. But Lala's actually like, oh, and then Danny's like, and like your answer inshadowed a lot of hate. No, Danny, people were thinking this before Lala. I guarantee the majority of people were not paying attention to what Lala said on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes, it incited a lot of hate. You're so ridiculous.
I did like that Lala, by the way, Lala's answer is like, I can't control the audience. Okay, I've been on the receiving end of those things from them, and that's like, I can't control what they say. Like, Lala, I don't want to ever stand up for Danny, but you actually did get into a fight with Danny about the fact that he liked something on Reddit or whatever, and you basically like demanded that he apologize for it, and now you're like, well, you know, I said what I said. I can't help it if the audience didn't, you know, decided to use that and come against you. I can't help that. I'm like, well.
Yeah, but saying answering a question on Watch What Happens is different than liking posts from awful commenters, encouraging the commenters.
Right? Yeah. Oh, it is 100% different. It's just like funny that she was like, oh, well, you know, I can't help it if this inflames tensions, which I just thought was funny because
this is the one section of the show that I was actually cheering for Lala, because she's like, yeah. You know, I understand there's crazy people out there, but I'm not taking accountability for crazy fucking fans. Sorry. And he's like, well, I just think it's sad that anybody would wish anything. And Michelle's like, I don't think she wishes. And
she said, I hope.
And Lala explains very clearly, like, if someone's verbally talking to you in a way that's not okay behind closed doors, which is what we saw, then I would hope that you would go be with someone and babies you and loves you. Like, you deserve that. And yes, I hope that personally, Ronnie, I hope that you leave Danny. He's a piece of shit. He's emotionally abusive. He's a drunk. And why would you think that your four kids should be around that? He's grabbing people's asses, which, you know, people kind of, well, I wouldn't say they got over, but they, you know, whatever. That's how it started. And then it's just devolved and gotten terrible to where he's yelling at Nia, treating her like shit. So, yes, Nia, you should fucking leave. And you should leave with your four fucking children. You should. And for people being like, uh-huh, you can't say that to a parent, then don't marry terrible men and choose to have. Then don't do that. Because it's not everybody else's responsibility to sit around and be like, oh, my God, would it be better that they're still married because they have kids? No, not if your dad's an abusive asshole. It's not better. And it's a crazy mentality.
I like that Lala did not back off because she said this on Watch What Happens Live. It's like a bold statement. It's one of those things that people rarely, you know, say. It's like a taboo area on Bravo to sort of wish that someone would end their marriage, to say, you should leave this man. Like people, like that's like one of those things. It's like, oh, how could you comment on that? That they have a family. You're wishing for that family to fall apart. And I like that when Lala was called upon it, she wasn't like, you know, maybe I went too far. She was like, yeah, I actually do feel this way. I think that I do hope that she leaves you, Danny, because I think that if you talk to her like this behind closed doors, I don't think that's right. So she really stuck to her guns there in a way that was really great. And Danny was like, wow, wow. And then Luke's like, fuck her. Yeah, too far, Lala. Luke is, he's had a bad season, but like this reunion, he has been, garbage.
He's disgusting too.
Ooh, this one's garbage. Too.
Yes, yeah. Absolute garbage. And of course, Kristen, you know, it's like, too far, Lala. No, it's not. She didn't say anything mean. She said what was happening on the show. And so Tom's like, well, I mean, it's not like she's like some timid, subservient woman. Oh, really? She's not? Because she's even hunching over this entire reunion. I don't know if you noticed this, but Nia is the only one who sits with her shoulders on her knees most of the reunion to be the same height as Danny. So he doesn't feel like she's totally subservient. You talking
well
about?
She's also like clutching Danny in a way that you like clutch your dog whenever there's loud noises around. You know, she's like, no Daniel,
don't bark. So, it's just the male guy, he comes every day, honey, it's okay.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying if you think that glimpse is what is my everyday, but it's not. And you don't know because you don't know my whole life. So if you to say something along those lines to a mom, to a husband who has a beautiful family. And Michelle's like, I think she's just going off based off of what she saw. Michelle.
Well, I'm not talking to you, Michelle. I'm talking to Lala. Lala's like, I'm hearing Q.
And Jenna's like, I guess this side of the couch isn't allowed to jump in. And
your side so of then, the couch is the only one that's talking. It's Lala. And it's not even her business. But she's so right that I don't even give a shit. You go, girl.
So Nia's like, I get your perception if you like. But like, if that's a glimpse of everything, then like, yeah, get out. But like, that's not. We have a really beautiful special home bubble in Santa Clarita. Yeah.
He only talks to me like that when, you know, 90% of the time he's been on TV this year, but it's not like that at home. Oh, okay. Yeah. After he made you move to fucking Santa Clarita in the middle of nowhere where you know nobody and are separated from anybody. Girl, stop.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Lala's like, you know what? You're right. I don't know your life. But all I know is what I watched on TV, which is fair. So Andy's like, all right, well, welcome back to the Valley Season 3 reunion. So shortly after San Diego, the Valley crew headed down to Puerto Vallarta, where one person got a splitting headache that was unrelated to tequila. Zach, wow, the moment the party bus, how was your head? You almost got decapitated. And he's like, well, it was great. Like, I didn't have like a headache that night, which is great. Okay, cool. Well, that was great, Zach. Thanks for being here at the reunion. Moving on. He's like, but don't you want to hear about how I put a the strap on my hair?
I have to say, the only reason I was wearing that thing around my head was because I didn't have a Band-Aid at the hospital, so I had to wear a Band-Aid around my head. So good.
All right, cool.
All right, we'll never talk to you again through the rest of this entire day. Okay, Jesse was treated to Michelle bringing... Okay, so now it's Aaron and Michelle getting upset that Aaron and What's-Her-Buns were showing so much PDA and it really hurt her feelings. So the question is, why would you expect Jesse to alter his behavior if you didn't alter your behavior with your boyfriend last season?
Well, I feel I would, you know, I feel like would... feel how I felt, and that I wished my husband for so many years would hold my hand and hug me, and he said he was incapable of that. And now, not only am I on a trip with him, but like, you know, like right in front of my face, she's basically like, he would never hold my hand. Now all of a sudden he is with Lacey, and he's gonna hold her hand left and right, and it's gonna be right in front of my face, and that was hard for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think this whole situation's kind of typical couple fighting, but I don't really care. I mean, I think they're both wrong. I mean, yeah, I can see how that would bother her, but you just did it all last year with that guy, that honey guy. So you're not really in the place to be getting upset about this. I did like Lacey being like, I don't even know what you guys are talking about. Like, I'm not affectionate with Jesse at all. I mean, I feel like the only like basic thing I tell him over and over on the show is like, I hate you. So like, don't touch me. You're not moving in. So I don't really get where this like PDA thing is coming from. I don't even give him like PDA, like private displays of affection. I don't give him either version of PDA. So
I actually dislike him massively. I mean, I sort of understand Michelle's point, which is that like, yes, she brought Aaron on the trip last year, but like Jesse had no issue with Michelle and Aaron having PDA, you know, like he was more just annoyed that Michelle had a new boyfriend, I think. And he was particularly annoyed that she was mad that he had a girlfriend, but then she had a boyfriend. But I don't think PDA was ever an issue. But like, she basically says it wasn't an issue for him, and that's why like that was able to be okay. But like, this is a specific issue for me. And that being said, I do think that Jesse ultimately has a point, which is like, at a certain point, like, I can't hold back from wanting to kiss my girl for the back of my girlfriend's head because my ex is there from 3 years ago. Like, I have to be able to do what I want to do. And I agree with that too. But I also think that like, I think that Jesse skates away. There's always like worse guys than him on the show, and he's able to skate away with it. But I think that like, he's able to skate away with being like a piece of shit. And I think that he does do some of these things intentionally to annoy Michelle. I don't think that like, I think he does go out of his way to be more affectionate with Lacey in front of Michelle just because he knows it'll irk her so much.
Maybe, but to me, it's just hypocritical because you did it first. So,
yeah, she doesn't have a strong, like, she doesn't have a strong case. It,
so, I'm very, you know, fourth grade argument. You started it, the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's just... I think ultimately it's about the larger thing, which is that you would always refuse to be intimate or affectionate with me. And then all of a sudden someone else comes along and you'll be affectionate with them. And that like really pisses me off, but she has to get over that because you're not together anymore. And you just have to just let it go. Like what he does with Lacey is going to be what he does with Lacey.
Yeah. So, okay, Janet, you opened up about some personal drama this season. So we talk about Janet's stuff, which is sad.
Yeah, it's really moving.
She talks
about
her negative experience with men and the thing that she opened up to about the assault that she opened up about on the show was when she was 12 years old. And that really colored her experience with men. And she hasn't really had a lot of great experience since then. So certain behaviors from men make her want to separate herself, which I can see.
Yeah, I thought she had a really profound statement when she said, doesn't matter how many years of therapy you have, like nothing will stop the hairs from raising the back of your neck when you feel like you're in a situation that's like unsafe. And I thought I think that totally makes sense. And it makes everything make sense about how she responded to Danny and the pantry and all those other things. So I get it. It was a really heartbreaking story that she shared, and she didn't even share the details. It's just like, we could fill in the blanks of the negative space. And it was really, really awful.
So then Kristen was skeptical of the timing of your story, and Jesse questioned why you're bringing it up now instead of sooner. I assume when you saw that, it wasn't great. And she's like, I expected it. I actually expected worse, so I'm glad that that was just it. And Kristen's like, but I had no idea what we were talking about. And like, if I had known Janet, like, I never would have said, because like, I get trauma, you know, and I didn't know it was sexual assault. Like, I mean, I didn't know anything. And I know it happened to women. And like, it's not, she goes on and on and on and is just smartly, just like, yeah, I shouldn't have said that, period.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So then Kristen's basically like, yeah, I didn't know, and sorry. So then Andy's like, welcome back, Jasmine. After San Diego, you were getting frustrated with Kristen for not allowing you to speak and not validating your triggers. Why do you think Kristen wasn't as respectful to your opinions as Lala's? So now Jasmine talks about what she brought up this season about how it just felt like the attention last year was all on Janet, and it just felt like when she was trying to explain how she felt last year, people weren't really listening. And then Lala explains how she feels, and everyone's like, oh, Lala, tell me more. And so she just felt frustrated, and she felt frustrated that people in the audience were saying, like, why'd you bring race into it? And she's like, well, I wasn't trying to bring race into it, but like, it feels weird when you're a black woman and you're like trying to say something, and then like a white woman comes along and says the same thing, and everyone listens to her, not to you. You feel weird when that happens. So it was a nice moment, because Kristen's also like
she's my best friend, and I would never do that to her. I'm sorry.
You know, one of those.
We're entering the phase where Kristen's just like, oh, I don't know why I said this. I didn't mean to say it. I barely even remember it. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. I'm like, you know, I'm dumb. Like, she had to explain it to me. And Kristen, I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I wish Kristen would just kind of stand with her convictions. Like with the Janet thing, you knew what they were talking. When they said Janet shared a trauma, you immediately were like rolling your eyes. You don't have to know the specifics to know what she was talking about.
Yeah.
You know? So stand behind your convictions and just say, I felt like Janet was bringing this up now all this time later, because the audience has been on her ass the whole time. And this is kind of a way for her to get in there and block everybody from saying something. You know that that's how she feels. So I get that that would probably be too bold to say on TV. She would get ripped apart for saying that. But I have a feeling that's how she feels. It's like if somebody says, oh, wow, well, Janet had her own trauma regarding this sexual stuff with men, what do you think she's talking about? So that was the first one, but okay. Then this one, she's like, I just had no idea what Jasmine, just say, I got annoyed because we're trying to have a conversation and Jasmine kept inserting herself. Even if it was, you know, Kristen won't just stand by what she was originally doing. She keeps backing up and being like, oh, I don't remember and I'm sorry. And it's really annoying.
Yeah.
But she does it to like the next three or four questions she gets to. Like, this isn't a reunion if you guys can't just really talk it out.
Yeah. So Andy now is asking about in Mexico, while Kristen was defending Danny, Kristen was like, well, if we're talking about drinking, why don't we talk about Brittany, Jasmine, and Zach's drinking? Why don't we talk about their drinking? And Kristen's like, I was gutted. And he's like, you were gutted? Watch, get back. I was gutted. And Brittany's like, it was worse than that. Janet even told me. And Jasmine's like, it was bad. It was bad because I watched it and I was like, are you fucking serious? I was literally like, are you fucking serious? And I know we talked, but I was like, really? So they're all, of course, the three of them are like, you know, they've been given an inch. They're going to take a mile. Like, I can't believe you would talk about my drinking in that way. And I think that Kristen had a pretty like easy way of saying like, no, at that time, my thought was, these three people who are accusing Danny of drinking too much, they all go out and get wasted all the time. So like, why is it like okay for them to say that Danny drinks too much when they have been on camera multiple times, you know, being belligerent or drunk? I think that's what Kristen was trying to say when she brought it up. I'm not saying that
right. That's
agree.
What she was saying, and it was actually true. Well, it was true. Well, I mean, look, Danny's a piece of shit.
She's not finding a point. Just,
right.
She, well, Krista was being a literalist about like, oh, it's about the amount of drinking. And it's like, no, it's not about the amount of drinking. It's that Danny acts like a dickhead. Right.
But there have been moments where they all have done that. Zach gets wasted and said whatever he said to Janet that spun that whole season off. And then later was like, well, I was just being, you know, pedantic while I was drinking. And then you've got Brittany. I mean, we've seen Brittany wasted a million times. So what you're right. What Kristen was saying was they all get shit faced and make idiots out of themselves on TV. Who are they to say? So I wish she would just say that now because.
But now they're all like clutching their pearls. They're like, yes. What? What? How could you do that to me? How could you say that I drink too much? I'm like, guys, I'm on your side about this Danny thing. But, like, don't be ridiculous here. You guys all get drunk. It just so happens that Kristen brought that up as evidence in the to be pro-Danny. And it's like, it's not a good case to make because that's not the issue here. But, like, don't act like you don't get drunk. But now they're all
Kristen
like,
knows now because they all know what the audience is thinking now. So she made a complete 360 in her standing up for Danny all the time and is now acting like she was horrified at Danny's behavior, which we all know is not true. We saw the season. But now she knows that she's supposed to say that. So she's coming back and she's giving answers to the audience that they want to hear. And she's just like, I don't remember anything. And I mean, I don't remember even saying it. And then, you know, when I found out, when I saw the show, I cried for 2 days. Like, I couldn't get out of bed. And then I texted Jasmine. And then I texted Brittany separately. And I was like, we'll talk about it. Because I don't feel that way. I just don't feel that way about you guys. And then, you know, Zach was like, I knew it wasn't even you talking like that, getting all heightened like that. I don't know what it was. It was rage. It wasn't alcohol. I can't even blame the alcohol. I don't know what it was. Yes, you do. You meant what you said. Stop being such a wuss.
Yeah. So, and then Brittany's like, I mean, if you guys remember how, like, Jax tried to portray me in Big Bear and stuff, and it was, like, not true, and I still have to deal with those comments from him to this day. So, for my best friend to say that about me, you know, it's just like, don't put that out there in the universe. And so Jasmine's like, yeah, I do think sometimes you need to remember, like, we are family, and, like, you count Danny as your family as well, and, like, remember that. The way you treat them, treat us like that, too. She's like, got it. Treat you guys like shit. Treat Danny like he's a king. Got it. No, Kristen. That's not what I'm saying.
Did I say that? I don't remember. I'm going to bed for 2 days to think about it.
All right, Kristen, watching back the episodes, can you see why Luke was feeling pushed away?
She's like, yeah, I mean, we've already talked about this, but...
And Jasmine's like, I don't like the way he talked to her. I just didn't like that.
She's like, well, there was rage. And, you know, like, there was shit that was pent up from pregnancy and, like, fighting during pregnancy and, like, him going out during pregnancy. And it was just, like, a year of pent up shit. And so even when he was being genuinely kind, I just didn't believe it.
So Andy moves on and starts asking Schwartz something. And then Luke mutters, oh, you talk about me like I was going out all the time. And I didn't. It's not even true. He's staring ahead like we're not going to hear this all on his mic. He's like, that's not even true, Kristen. I didn't even do that. And she's like, yeah, right. Just looking at him like, yeah, right, buddy.
Yeah, she has this look on her face like, don't even try me. So, Emily from Donut Town says, watching the season back, does it remind you of similar relationships she's been in before? That's my question to Tom. Do you think that this is part of Kristen's pattern? It's like, well, I do sometimes worry that some of the past stuff does haunt her mindset moving forward with, like, Luke, but, like, I don't know, like, maybe. And Kristen's like, yeah, Tom, when you said self-sabotage or me, like, to self-sabotage this relationship, like, I was 3 months into postpartum. And he's like, no, it wasn't my place. I'm sorry, I'm a little boy, I don't know what I'm saying about, I'm talking about, I don't know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I was not in my right mind. I mean, I used to do that for sure.
Okay, you know what? That was really poorly worded. I'm so sorry, Kristen.
She's like, but I think you meant it, though. I think you meant it.
And he's like, well, it was disrespectful, and I'm sorry how I worded it.
Yeah, but I think you meant it.
Exactly, Kristen, which is what they should be saying to you when you're giving your bullshit responses. That's what this whole reunion's making me crazy. Everyone just say what you mean. Tom, you did mean that she self-sabotages her relationships because she does self-sabotage her relationships. And she admits to it in about 5 minutes. So just say, like, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. But yeah, it did seem like you were kind of self-sabotaging your relationships. What are all these fake sorries?
And I don't know why it's actually not a character judgment. It's just like, it's more just like Tom sort of stating what he observes. And it's like, that's kind of her pattern. She said it before. It's not like he's saying that she sucks because of it. He's just saying that's what happened. So when she's like, oh, but I was in postpartum, how dare you? It's like, well, the postpartum probably exacerbated it, maybe made it like even bigger. I don't know. But like, I think he knew well enough to be like, you know what? I'm not going to die on this hill. I don't care about this as much. Whatever. Sorry, Kristen, didn't mean it. Like, I'm going to go back to sitting on the edge of the couch, daydreaming about Kaya. So Andy's like, well, you admitted that your biggest fear was being left. Do you worry that Luke will leave you? Well, there have been a couple of times, like an hour every day, every hour. So yeah, it looks like.
It's really crazy that I think that when he constantly goes on camera and says, if she keeps acting like this, I'm out.
Yeah, why would she ever get that impression? So Kristen's like, yeah, I mean, that was my defense. Because Luke says, yeah, well, you get upset and you'd be like, you're just going to leave me. So you're just leave me anyway. Like, you're going to leave anyway. So just like go. And she's like, well, that was my defense. I even had to talk to my therapist about it. Like, my defense mechanism was to push him away and say that because he couldn't hurt me by abandoning me. It's like, you just got mad at Tom Schwartz literally 5 seconds ago, 5 actual seconds in time ago, for him saying that you do sort of self-sabotage. And she's like, how dare you say that? How dare you say that? Well, I have been telling my therapist that I do like to push people away.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I got lost in my notes. I closed them and then reopened them. And now I'm having trouble.
And you're lost. Well, I will continue on. So Kristen goes, I wouldn't even say you're going to leave me. I would just say, leave. Then just fucking leave. And if this is how you feel, then just leave me. Because I was like, if I say this, just leave, just leave, just leave. And that Tom Schwartz, don't you dare say I'm self-sabotaging. So Andy is like, I think you guys should go back into couples therapy. Okay, Danny.
Well, we just need to get in a better place first. That's still the funniest thing said in this whole, the sadliest, funniest thing that was said, which is, we can't go to therapy because we're just like, we just have to be getting along a little bit better and like work on ourselves before we go to therapy.
Pre-therapy.
Okay. So Danny, after the blow up in the hotel room, you told Nia she wasn't defending you, her husband. How would you have wanted her to act? And he's like, well, first of all, I had no idea what cucking meant. I had never heard the word cuck.
Yeah, when I said it to you and your face was like, what is that cuckolding, you know? She's like, no, you said cocking. Yeah, like, I don't know what I said. I didn't know what it was either. I don't know. It was crazy.
Yeah, so they're laughing about the word cuck. And Jason's like, oh, for the record, I'm not a cuck. I'm, like, not into that at all, okay? And Jen's like, no kink shaming, okay? Maybe some people are into it.
Anyway, we start to get into it. And then there's like arguments happening all over the place. And Neil was just like, listen to Lala. Just listen. All right, Lala. Why do you think Nia acted like a lineman in a prairie dress and stayed between you and Danny on the beach to prevent you from talking to him directly?
She's like, because she was afraid what he was going to say. Is that it, Nia? You were afraid of what he was going to say, were you? We've seen you pull Danny away from situations in the past. She's like, well, I have a headspace and, you know, I don't like the heightened dramatics of it all. Things that are heightened bother me. It's why I'm with a little person. And it felt like everything was getting heightened and so much more heightenedly, dramatically high than it needed to be. And obviously, Daniel wasn't done with it and Lala wasn't done with it. Height wasn't done with it. So
I just want to state for the record that I'll say hello to every single number except for the number 10. You will not hear me say hi 10. So Danny is like,
yeah, that was also like the third or fourth time, Lala, that you came to approach me to start talking to me about something else. I mean, it's crazy.
So Brittany is like, well, I will have to say, watching it, you started it, Danny. You started it.
Yeah, and Jason's like, Lolo just overheard you. And Lolo's like, yeah, you started it. I just went down and overheard you and Jesse speaking in a way that I didn't appreciate about women again. He's like, well, started with me talking to Michelle, and then all of a sudden you mosey on up. She's like, and I grabbed my back. I was just there to grab my back. So am I not allowed to grab my back? Like, I can't even stand there? Like, so now I can't ask questions? I can't kick it with everybody else?
It was heightened. God. So Nia's like,
he never said that. Stop heightening this, Lala. Stop heightening this.
Lala, can you look at Daniel's wife? Lala, Lala.
So then Danny is like,
well, you just kept on inserting yourself,
which, I mean, that is what Lala does, generally speaking. But hearing him say that, like, it just sort of to me oozed like,
this is men's talk. There's no place here for women's.
So Lala goes, I did not insert myself anywhere, Danny. Okay, give me an example of when I inserted myself aside from this reunion, every other question. There was San Diego where you were at my house acting a damn fool. I like she took ownership of the house that they were staying in.
Yeah. It's like, that was my house. She does insert herself constantly, but then Danny is constantly blabbing how upset he is to every single person there. So it's pretty natural that anybody in the cast can say something about it. Lala is kind of over the top with it in every, you know, she's done it the whole season. But on the other hand, Danny, she wouldn't be able to do it if you weren't like, where's my apology? When do I open? They show a clip of him like sitting at the table with all the guys, bitching to all the guys about how he's just how the women are coming for him, basically. And he's like chewing with his mouth open and spitting food everywhere while he complains. It's like, you're so gross. People have a right to come up and tell you you're an asshole if you're sitting there being the loudest asshole at the party as usual, drunkenly spitting food everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. So so then Danny is like, I think this timeline's a little bit off. And Luke says it started with you and Michelle at the bar.
And then the dinner table was the second location.
They're like putting together like a murder mystery, like CSI schematic about how this all went down post-mortem. So Danny's like,
exactly. Yeah. You came over and wanted to come and me again. That's what you did, Lala.
And she's like, well, but hi, you are the one talking about Michelle. So why wouldn't she come over and say something?
Yeah. He's like, so basically it just goes, I mean, in my opinion, Lala did insert herself, but somebody needed to tell Danny to shut the fuck up and nobody else was doing it. The guys are just sitting there like, yeah, Danny, go Danny. Like someone needs to tell Danny to shut the fuck up. And if it takes Lala, then that's what it takes. I don't necessarily blame Lala as much as I blame the casting of this show being so weak that this is what we've got.
Hmm.
You know, someone needs to tell Danny, none of you are willing to do it. Kristen's a total wuss now. She won't even stand up for anything she said at the reunion. She just keeps backtracking. So if it's going to take Lala, then that's what we get.
Yeah. So they just go back and forth about like who said what, who called out who inserted. And Danny is like, it was a lot. It was my birthday. And then Jasmine's like, it doesn't matter if it's your birthday. It's everyone's birthday. Who cares?
Yeah, and everybody just laughs and says they don't care about his birthday, and he gets all offended, which was so funny. There was one line in here, Jasmine said, yeah, and then me and you got into it too, right? Right? They didn't show it. They didn't show it, but we got into it too. Remember that, everybody? Maybe they'll show a clip now. Nope. Nothing? Okay. Well,
I was like, okay.
I'm on the show too. I'm actually on the show too.
Welcome back. At Britney's epic Halloween party, the gang decked themselves out as ghouls and vampires. To the theme, the evening turned into an all-out bloodbath. Michelle, what's your friendship been like with Jasmine ever since? Because you got into it that night.
And so Michelle says that they're okay, but she's like, I don't know if you're good. I don't know if you like me, to be honest with you.
Jasmine's like, no, I'm good. I'm so happy, everybody. I'm like so happy. Like I had a great wedding. I'm really happy. I love my wife. They're like, no, we're saying how good you are with Michelle. She's like, oh, I was like, I'm good. Okay. But Jasmine, listen, you've got really nothing going on this season. Maybe they're cutting you out of everything. I don't know. From what you just said, they probably are just cutting a lot of your stuff. You know you have nothing going on, so at least have this conversation. This thing at the season finale was crazy, this argument she got into with Michelle and that friend. This was a lot. And the calling each other bitch and the whatever else, that was a pretty big thing. So she's just like, okay, we're good now. That's it. It's over. I'm like, come on, Jasmine. I'm rooting for you to get some more time here, but she just brushes this one under the rug.
Yeah, Michelle basically says she didn't go to the wedding because Jasmine unfollowed her. And she's like, well, obviously Jasmine doesn't like me. And it would be weird. This is supposed to be an intimate experience. And so, like, I felt like I shouldn't be there. So I didn't go. And Jasmine doesn't say anything like, oh, I wish you had reached out because I really wanted you to be there. And I would have loved to have been there. And even though we've had our differences, I still feel like you're still part of our unique family. And I would have loved to have you be there. Jasmine's like, mm-hmm. Jasmine's like, yep. Does not push back on Michelle saying that she felt it would be weird if she went there.
Yeah, that was a pretty good fight. They should have gotten into it. But I'm not saying they should have fought, but she should have stuck up for herself and been like, all I was doing was coming over there and telling you what was happening with Jesse, and then I've got your friend up my ass and calling me names and all of this. I don't know. They should have had some kind of discussion. But it's this reunion, so they just, what? Everything's great. So now we get to the comic that Michelle was dating. Why was Jesse so bothered? And he's like, well, I mean, he's a client, and, you know, I just looked at her like, you're introducing someone to Isabella again. And you didn't see enough of the conversation I had with Jasmine after Michelle walked out. It was a whole thing completely about Isabella. I care only about Isabella and protecting her from a slutty mother that just dates clients left and right.
Michelle, were you secretly dating this guy, Max? And she's like, no, I met him. We became good friends. He became a client. I sold him 3 buildings. And Andy is like, did Isabella hang out with him? And she's like, well, Isabella came with me to one of the showings, and that's it. And Jesse's like, no, Isabella had told me, she said something about a smoothie that she had loved. And I said, where'd you get the smoothie from? And she said, my mom's friend, Max. And I'm like, all right, if you met him at a showing, why is somebody bringing our daughter a smoothie? What if she's allergic to nuts or strawberries or honey? Well, we know she's not allergic to honey. Ha.
It's just so LA that somebody gets in trouble for giving a kid a smoothie, like the healthiest thing you can get a kid, you know. But maybe she was driving the guy around to show him different properties. He did buy 3 buildings, so it wouldn't be so weird.
Yeah.
Also, you're both single, and sorry, but your kid's going to meet people that you're dating.
I think Jesse's
just life.
Jesse will always take any opportunity to ding Michelle and try to like shame her for anything she does every single time.
Yes.
Yep. So Andy's like, well, let me ask you a question. When it comes to Isabella, do you trust Michelle is going to do the right thing? He's like, of course, because I know that she loves her. But it's just that Michelle's like, there's no but. He's like, but she didn't do the right thing with Aaron.
Oh. Hey, I wonder what Lala thinks. She can't control other people. And let's remember, Isabella also had to go through her mom and dad splitting up. And that's a much bigger deal. And I'm not saying it's right, but it's not like Michelle moved in with Aaron and said, I'm kind of fucking over this. I'm going to pack up my kid and get the fuck out of here. Okay?
That's true. And honestly, like, Aaron is the one who dumped Michelle. And like, she says here, like, I was planning a life with him. She's like, didn't work out, but I was planning on it. It's not like it was just some like, oh, some casual thing or whatever. You know, Jesse doesn't want to hear that.
And Lacey's like, well, I think it was just because it was the third person. She's like, there is no third person. Aaron is the only one. And I waited to introduce them. And you know, he gets over mad at me for something that he did that was wrong. And he tries to hold it against me. And it is not my fault.
We've had those conversations, and you're going to try to paint me as a bad mother, and that's always the problem. And he's like, okay, cool. Well, getting back to the Halloween party, Kristen, you told Brittany and Lala that Nia was the one always guilt-tripping Zach for being friendly with Janet, but then when Nia asked you about the comment, you denied it. Do you have a really strong answer for this?
I don't know, because I know that I said it, but I don't know why I said that. I just don't know. I have no idea. I don't remember.
She looks fucking pack that. It up. Jesus.
So Brittany's like, well, you know, that really hurt my feelings, you know, because Zach believed Kristen, and my feelings was hurt, and all of a sudden I was this liar, and it was so hurtful. You guys immediately just threw me under the bus. That was wrong. You know, I was wrong. You're right.
And Zach's like, Kristen was wrong, and I was wrong as well. You're right, Brittany.
So, Schwartz, I have to say, Brittany's Halloween-themed charcuterie board was a lot more impressive than your 007 charcuterie, right? Schwartz is like, oh, well, that's my last DIY attempt. It was really hard. It was really scary. And while I did learn how to get balls at Tom Tom, I didn't have enough balls how to learn how to make a good charcuterie plate. I'm so sorry. I'm scared. I'm a little boy.
Charcuterie? It's just, look, when I make it, it's charcuterie because I'm just a guy. The guy trying to put something together for a party.
I wonder if they had a production meeting where they were like, do we really need to have 3 reunion episodes for this show? Guys, we have to get to Tom talking about charcuterie. Okay, just make it happen.
It has to be addressed. Danny, what was the first? Was that the first time you've ever had a drink thrown at you? And Daniel's like, yes, I've never had a drink thrown in my face before. I wish they had shown the shot again because it really was one of my favorite stims, as they say these days. That stim plays in my head nonstop. And I'll see that little cup bouncing off of his head. Like, blunk. Oh, it was great.
I do not believe that that was the first drink he's ever had thrown in him. Maybe that first he remembers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Andy asked for a show of hands. Who thinks Janet went too far throwing that drink? And everyone except Jason raises their hands. And Jason's like, I mean, I wish she didn't do it. I mean, she crossed the line for sure, for sure, for sure. And Janet's like, yeah, I wish I didn't because he's already making a fool of himself. So I should have just let him do that.
Well, when you're pointing your finger at Janet's face, and then I said, get your finger out of her face. And you said, what are you going to do with that bum ass knee? Which is like bringing it to a physical thing. Like, I have to physically remove you, you know? And Danny goes, I was heated. You know, in many ways, it was almost like I had been previously at one plane, but then I went up to a higher plane. I guess you could say it was heightened.
He was heightened so much that he got heated. He was closer to the sun.
And Danny's like, were you drunk?
Oh, yeah, I was pretty toasty at that one. But here's the deal. I was apologizing to Lala. Then all of a sudden, Janet says, is that it? And I'm like, I'm not even talking to you. I'm not talking to Lala right now. I'm talking to Lala.
Danny, here's the thing. You were alone, shit-faced, sleeping it off on a couch.
In the middle of a party.
Drunk. In the middle of a party. Like a loser. Okay? These three came to fuck with you at the season finale and get a rise out of you. All you have to say is that, okay? We all saw it. We all know that that's exactly what was going on. The problem here is that you're too drunk and too stupid to know that's what's going on. And so you fell right into it. And then you did exactly what they needed to, which is act like a belligerent asshole, misogynist drunk. So
if you're, Danny,
what do you
if you're
want
getting
me to tell
from,
you, buddy? Like,
if you're getting it from all ends, all season, about how you're a bad drunk, dark side Danny, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you get so shit-faced at the finale party that you have to pass out on a sofa in the middle of the party? Okay, like people don't do that anymore. Meaning at your age, people don't get so drunk that they have to like pass out mid-party. That's something maybe in your 20s, but like you can't even keep it together for one party. I'm not saying don't drink, but like, where is that like voice in your head that says, oh, I want to drink more, but I can't because they're going to roast me for this. And I'm on TV and I don't want to embarrass my wife. And I want to prove to them that I actually have some self-control. Like, where is that voice? And that's the problem.
Well, additionally, alcohol aside, even if you're saying, I mean, you've sat here saying you and Nia both, this whole reunion that everybody is coming up to you, trying to trigger you, and they're always trying to confront you, and you're always in a heightened situation, and you know going into these situations, everyone's going to be coming for you to make you look stupid on TV. That's basically what you guys have said for 3 hours now. So you've been through an entire season of this and you still don't know what they're doing. You still fall right into it and give them exactly what they want. You're just an idiot. You're just bad at this. Jeez.
So then Andy's like, Nia, you referred to this group as terrible people. We know that, but do you truly believe that? And she's like, no. It was not everybody. It was more of a general term. And then Jasmine's like, I'm not going to lie. I hated that. It sucks to hear that. I mean, you're on a reality show on Bravo. People only get cast on these shows if they're terrible people, let's be honest.
Yeah, nobody hired you because you're all like great people, you know? And so Andy tries to get her to say who the terrible people are. It's like, well, I was hiding. It was hiding.
As I was, and, very, you know, hiding.
So annoying. I just felt like Lala Janet. And even though you weren't doing anything in the moment, you too, kind of, whoever, who's she talking to, Jasmine. And I took that out with my words. And that's not how I typically operate. We know that. Typically, I just say heightened.
So. Yeah, well, you said it three times. You said in Mexico, and you said it talking about your pregnant friends or your pageant friends, and then you said it at my party. And he was like,
well, it was all in reference to that night in Mexico. If you, as you may remember, it was a heightened night.
No, no, you're just like, these are awful people, and we have to get out of here. These people are terrible. That's how you say it.
And Lala's like, and it was after the drink was thrown too. She's like I said, you two in those moments, okay? So Lala's like, Nias, I don't love being thrown into that because I'm a lot of fucking things, but a terrible person for trying to have a conversation about your husband's terrible behavior is not happening. It's not happening.
Let me say, I do regret putting that label on you or anybody in general, because I don't want that to be a person to label. I don't want to be a person to label anyone. And I feel like people have terrible moments. I didn't think I'd use it as a general term. And the way I typically communicate is I don't do blank as it.
I mean, tell me you've got pageant training without telling me you've got pageant training.
Jesus, it's all of them. It's like another bullshit answer for, it's like 3 hours of bullshit. Just say, I said you were terrible people, because every time we come into this group, I come with a positive attitude, like it's going to be great. And then you guys come and try and start fights. Just say that, even though they can still argue you down and say it's your husband who does it. You're right that they're going to argue with you, but at least say something true. I mean, Jesus Christ, you're such a fucking phony, man.
Andy then asks,
wasting my time.
Andy then asks, where do Danny and Nia go from here? And he's like, I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot of the people. I mean, a lot of the people we've had great friendships with and talk to weekly, some even daily.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for the friendships that we do have. Some would say our friendship has been almost heightened by this situation.
Danny says, the other ones, I don't know where we go from here. Okay, well, welcome back. I want to end on a happy note.
Well,
unless you say you're going down for 5 years and recasting the show with half new people, you're not going to get me, but try.
So Andy's just asking Jasmine how the wedding was, and it was great. And the next one that same night, it was super fun, and everything was great, and it was a great fun time. And basically Andy is like, well, now that we've spent 2.5 episodes talking about drinking and Danny's relationship with alcohol and maybe drinks too much, why don't we bring out Melissa and Benji with a bottle of alcohol for everyone to toast with?
Yeah, so then the person who gets to give the toast is Jesse. That's interesting choice. And he gives a really boring toast to Jasmine. And they all cheers. And then Danny goes, can we get a let's go? And Zach goes, no. No,
yeah,
please.
But then he gets one
tries
in anyway.
To get one out. Yeah, he does. Yep. Let's go. Blech.
No one co-signed.
How about
that?
You just go? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to make it his thing. He's going to have t-shirts. He's going to have hats. He really, oh God, he's just one of those people who just drags the same joke out over and over and over again. And no one laughed the first time. And I say that as someone who does that myself. I recognize myself and Danny. And I'm saying, Don't follow me. Don't follow me on this one, Danny. Just stop saying let's go.
I just hope he said let's go enough that the producers are like, okay, bye. Like, yeah. Let him go. Let him go. What an annoying little shithead. And Luke, you're right there with him. Someone commented like, oh my God, why do you even cover this if you hate most of the men? Give me better men.
Why do we cover anything?
Honestly, I don't know. That's the only answer I have. Is just put
who asked that question?
It was just a commentary, but it was cracking me up. Like, do you watch this show? Of course we hate the men. They're terrible.
I think that's like within our rights. Because we have to say the things that are not being said. Or we have to say the things that are on our mind. And that's our God-given right. Anyway, we made it to the end.
We pay taxes.
is thank you everyone for being here for season 3 of The Valley. What a tremendous ride it's been. And we will now sunset it as we look forward to new shows to cover. Thanks for being here, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
And bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster. It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto. Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our Palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland. Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz. It's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it. It's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that. It's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes. It's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs. It's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.